Second verse, same as the first, by Taylor. Narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom, The Lost Tomb Reboot, The Grave Robbers Chronicles. Rating general audiences, no archive warnings apply. Pairings, Wuxie Zhang Qiling and Wang Pengzi Wuxie Zhang Qiling. Wuxie is on the side of the mountain, and then he's in bed in Warehouse 11. There's a bit of a blur in between, like a dizzy spell followed by real vertigo as he finds himself flat on his back staring at the mosquito canopy. He closes his eyes, swallows down some nausea, resigns himself to the coughing fit that inevitably follows. It's not too bad, at least there's no blood. After a while, his breathing normalizes and his body catches up to his new environment. Not that new, to be fair. At this point, he's quite used to the oppressive silence of Warehouse 11 at night. He listens to it for a while, stares into the darkness behind his eyelids. That was certainly a weird one. It's over. He's back in his own time, and there's not much left to say. Crazy shit happens in the tomb raiding business. That's all there really is to it. He can already tell, though, that his struggle to shrug off the events of the past few hours is a fight he's losing. Wuxie has good reason to avoid dwelling on the past. There are single moments he can remember with fondness, but it took years of practice to strip them of all context. Remember Uncle Sansheng telling him about the tombs of the Central Plains, but don't remember that Uncle Sansheng was never the person who explained those things to him. Relive his memories as he experienced them, without taking into account the things he learned later in life. Meeting his younger selves removed this safety net. He was their harbinger from the future, the one who knew how little time Xiaoxie had left to spend with Xiaoge, the one who could tell Wuxie from Gu Tongjing that death wasn't all that was waiting for him at the end of his 10-year mission. The one who remembers so clearly how badly both of his younger selves needed someone to tell them these things at the time. What would have happened if he had touched the crystal himself? As far as he knows, there is no future version of him. But then, as far as Wuxie from the desert knew, there wasn't a future version of him either. If he'd touched the crystal and his future self had shown up, what are the answers he would have had that he's missing right now? He feels beside himself for his phone, unplugs the charger and squints as the display lights up. It's just past 3, the dead of the night if ever there was one. Pengzi is most likely asleep. Xiaoge is still in the village with Uncle Arbai, in a time zone 1 hour behind them. But even he shouldn't be up at 2 in the morning. Their group chat is the fourth from the top. The last message an image of a fat dog Pengzi shared. He clicks into the input field and stares at the blinking cursor. There's no message he could send that wouldn't cause concern. Pengzi wouldn't read it till the morning. He's too deep a sleeper to be woken up by a mere messenger buzz. But he'd notice the timestamp. Xiaoge would likely wake up. He might even reply. But there's nothing Wuxie can think of to say that would prompt more of than a yes or no from Xiaoge. Even if that. Maybe he doesn't need his future self to point out what he's getting wrong. It's the same as it's been in every stage of his life. It's quite ironic that he just got through telling his younger self to trust that the Iron Triangle's friendship would hold, only to find himself staring at his phone in a dark, empty room, not knowing what to say to the people he claimed to be so close to. Right here, right now, thinking about these things more clearly than ever before, he should have the courage to send a message. Maybe even to pack up his things and leave, go where he's wanted, where the people he's with won't lie to him about who they are and what they expect. It's within his grasp. All he has to do is reach out. Instead, he turns his phone off, finds the charger in the dark and plugs it back in, curls up under the thin, musty-smelling Warehouse 11 sheet. He has some time left, still. Time enough to find Uncle Sansheng. Time enough to avoid for a little while the fact that his days are numbered. Pengzi, Xiaoge, they're his best friends. They will understand. His time runs out in Thunder City, and he's not ready. He's standing in the artifact chamber with a taste of blood in his mouth, exhausted just from forcing his useless lungs to keep breathing. He knows he's not going to leave this place alive. It's not so different from the chamber that contained the crystal, where he met his younger selves and tried to tell them what Uncle Sansheng is telling him now. Stop chasing delusions. Don't waste the time you have. It's too late, he wants to say. You should have told me sooner. I've no time left at this point. But he's too tired to lie. This is a lesson he's been taught over and over, and yet never found the courage to take to heart. Even now, when Pengzi shouts at him to find the tape that will save him, he barely hesitates. He doesn't want to die. It's not a delusion if it works. After everything is said and done, they're sitting on the steps in Wu Xianzhu's courtyard. The smell of rain hangs in the air, with the possibility of a thunderstorm later in the night. Pengzi is to the left of him, licking the remains of kebab off his fingers. Xiaoge, to the right, has his elbows on his knees, a beer bottle dangling from his grip as he's staring off into space. There's nothing to be done tonight other than sit here and enjoy the quiet. Maybe play a game of pool, go to bed and listen to the rain patter against the roof. There should be nothing on his mind, no weight to distract him from this near-perfect moment with the two most important people in his world. And yet, he rubs a hand over his eyes. Xiaoge. Xiaoge looks around. He's got his hood pulled back, eyes him with patient expectation. Do you remember the first time you kissed me? From his left, there's a surprised grunt. Xiaoge pays it no attention, lowers his head in a single brief nod. Wuxie glances down at his hands. Why did you do it? Tianzhen. There's something tense in Pengzi's voice. Wuxie shakes his head, puts a hand on Pengzi's thigh. Xiaoge stays silent. There's a question in his eyes. Wuxie smiles rueful. He always loses this game against Xiaoge. I've remembered it. It happened a few months ago for me, as I was working in a warehouse 11. Xiaoge tilts his head. Then you know why. Pengzi's getting louder, scoots in a little. What are you two talking about? Wuxie counters Pengzi crowding in, with pushing his shoulder into Pengzi's arm. I time-traveled. Xiaoge lets out an almost inaudible snort. Pengzi freezes. You what? Something dissolves in Wuxie's chest. Unfocused tension shifting into humor at Pengzi's bafflement. He grins, leans into him a little harder. You remember that temple we went into in, 2004 it must have been? We barely made it inside before everything collapsed on top of us. Pengzi spits out a curse, reaches for a beer bottle from the stash on the table behind them. I remember. Fucking place almost killed me. He pops the bottle with his teeth. What about it? We actually made it all the way inside. Wuxie reaches out, plucks the beer from Pengzi's fingers. I remembered it wrong. The cave-in didn't happen in the first corridor. It happened when we entered the central chamber. We got separated. The two of you were outside. I was inside on my own. What? Pengzi frowns at the bottle, visibly deliberates, and forgoes protest as he grabs a fresh one. You said to me afterwards that we didn't even need to go back because the entrance was blocked. How did you? The temple made you both forget. Xiaoge is back to staring across the courtyard. Wu Xie watches him from the corner of his eyes. But you remembered, didn't you? How come? Xiaoge shrugs. Pangzi makes a harumphing sound. Wait, so we forgot something that Xiaoge remembers, and now you remember it too? He slaps a palm against his chest. What about me? I'm not an amnesiac. How come I don't remember? Wu Xie spreads his palms in a helpless gesture. I don't think Xiaoge was meant to remember. He probably does because he's a Zhang. The temple's effect didn't work on him.
Okay.
Pangzi watches him from under a deep frown.
So what's this about time travel?
I time traveled back. Me from a few months ago. I traveled back to that temple. He scratches the side of his head, squints at Pangzi. I think my younger self called me. The temple, it allows you to receive advice from your older self, or selves. There were three of me.
Tianjin.
Pangzi grimaces, scrubs a palm over his face.
You met yourself? Isn't that... That's bad, right? That's the thing that's not supposed to happen. Is reality going to collapse?
Why didn't you tell me right away? There's no accusation in the question, just puzzlement. Wu Xie chews on his lip, thinks back to that night in the warehouse, staring at his phone in the dark, not knowing what to say. I kissed Xiaoge. He ignores Xiaoge tensing up next to him. I did. Me from right now. I kissed him, and then he kissed me. Younger me. Me from back then. Pangzi lets out a huff.
This is too confusing. What are you saying?
I'm saying... He swallows as his chest tightens up. What if I hadn't? He turns his head, looks at Xiaoge's profile. If I hadn't done that, would you be here right now? Xiaoge snaps his head around. His eyes are dark. A muscle in his jaw twitches. Immediately, Wu Xie wishes he could take his words back.
Whoa.
A hand lands on Wu Xie's shoulder. Pangzi leans in, heavy against his side.
Tianjin, have you lost your mind? That's Xiaoge you're talking to.
Xiaoge, whose loyalty to him is unquestionable. It's in Xiaoge's actions, in his presence, in the look he's giving him right now, pretending like one kiss 15 years ago is a single incentive that keeps Xiaoge by his side is, well, Pangzi is right, it's insane.
I'm sorry.
He glances down at his hands. I didn't mean that. Long fingers brush against his cheek. They wrap around his jaw, tilt his head up. Xiaoge's eyes search his face. They're darker than normal, shinier, and it makes Wu Xie's guts twist.
You know that when I left, I had to.
It's not a question, it's a reminder. Suddenly he's feeling resentment, with barely forgotten pain churning underneath. He tries to pull away, but Xiaoge just holds on more tightly.
I haven't left since.
He unclenches his jaw, feels Xiaoge's fingers dig into his cheek.
Xiaoge, let go of me.
Xiaoge does. He breaks eye contact, puts his beard down on the steps, and gets up. The shadow of Wu Xianzhu's roof swallows him up as he moves away.
Wow.
Pangzi is looking after him, his forearm resting on one knee.
Great job, Tianjin. He'll be gone by tomorrow morning.
He's starting to feel like he did not all that long ago, when each breath felt like the cut of a knife. Pangzi's not wrong. Xiaoge doesn't stick around at the best of times. He's reachable by phone, and he comes back whenever he finds something Wu Xianzhu might be interested in selling. But he never stays for long. This time, he's already been here over a week.
He didn't seem like he was going to leave anytime soon. Wu Xie wasn't under the misguided impression that Xiao Guo was going to settle down with them, but it seemed that maybe, after everything, he was planning to stick around for a while. A month, maybe two. Who knows, maybe even longer. Pongsa's right, though. Again. That's almost certainly not going to happen now. He pulls his legs up, wraps his arms around his knees, blinks against the heat that's gathering in the corners of his eyes. I want him to stay. Pongzi lets out a heavy sigh. A hand drops onto Wuxie's back. And there's some shuffling as Pongzi gets to his feet. Tell him, not me, and... Wuxie glances up. What? You're gonna tell me all about the time travel. Every detail. Tianchen, you hear me? Don't think you're getting out of that. For now, though. Pongzi squints across the courtyard. Xiao Gu almost lost you. Just remember that when you talk to him. Steps shuffling on the stone floor. Pongzi leaves as well. Wuxie rests his chin on his knees. Listens to the clanging of dishes, starts up inside. Distant thunder rolls over the city, and heavy raindrops start falling. Wuxie stays where he is and watches them paint dark splotches on the courtyard's cobblestone. Much later, he's sitting cross-legged on the couch in Wu Xianju's back room. The house lies still and silent. The sounds of Pongzi puttering around have ceased ages ago. He's keeping his back straight, tension making the muscles in his neck cramp. His hands are wrapped around a teacup with the remains of strong, overbrewed tea clinging to the bottom. His lungs are working again these days, but his body is still not what it used to be. All-nighters didn't used to bother him, but right now, staying awake is physically painful. He can't sleep, though. He's waiting. Eventually, he hears soft steps approaching. They're quiet enough that he would have missed them if they weren't exactly what he's listening for. He wills his eyes to focus on the doorway to the shop. Before long, Xiao Gu appears in it. He stops in his tracks as he sees him. Wu Xie has to peel his tongue off the roof of his mouth to speak. Xiao Gu. Xiao Gu doesn't respond. He doesn't move, either, stands in the doorway tense like a cat looking for an opportunity to bolt. Wu Xie forces his stiff limbs to move, puts the teacup aside, and gets to his feet. I was hoping to catch you. The back room leads to the residential part of the house, and with it the bedroom where Xiao Gu keeps his backpack. Wu Xie knew Xiao Gu wasn't going to leave without it. He moves closer. Xiao Gu still doesn't so much as twitch. I wanted to say. He puts a hand against Xiao Gu's chest. The fabric of his hoodie is smooth, warmed by the body underneath. He glances up to find Xiao Gu watching him. His eyes are distant. It makes Wu Xie's tired ones itch harder. I'm really sorry for what I said. Truly. I know that kiss is not why you're here. There is slight movement, a minuscule softening in Xiao Gu's expression that allows sadness to creep in. Wu Xie pinches the side of his tongue between his teeth, curls his fingers against Xiao Gu's chest. I just couldn't shake the thought. He couldn't before, and even now he's feeling an echo of that doubt gnawing on the back of his mind. What if I kissed you just to make sure you'd stay with me, even though I knew that Xiao Gu was going to lose him, death clinging to his lungs and disease spreading through his body? He kissed a person who was inevitably going to have to watch him die. He's not sick anymore, there's no reason to expect imminent death. But he's not sure it makes a difference. Xiao Gu is a Zhang. Sooner or later, they'll find themselves in that same place again. Wuxie. A hand wraps around his wrist, firm like the tone Xiaoge used to say his name. Wu Xie swallows, evens out his breathing. Please don't leave. The words come out thin and brittle. He's staring at Xiaoge's hand, struggles against his choked up throat. I know I'm just me. I almost got killed by fucking dust in my lungs. It'll be something at some point. Eventually I won't get lucky, but...
He stops, grasping for reasons Xiaoge should stay and finding none. The risk is too great and too evident now. Something in his throat snags. He closes his eyes.
Please, Xiaoge, stay. Just for a little longer.
The grip around his wrist loosens. He holds perfectly still, waits for hands on his shoulders to push him back. They'll be gentle. Xiaoge hasn't suddenly started hating him. It's just that this makes sense. Not for him, of course. To him, it feels like his heart is being ripped out. But for Xiaoge, it's the only logical thing to do. Leave now before something catches them off guard again. They've used up all the luck they're ever going to get, and then some. Hands do settle on his shoulders, but they don't push him back. Instead, they slide around to his back, pull him in until his face is pressed against the warmth of Xiaoge's chest. He shudders, quickly wraps his arms around Xiaoge's waist before he can change his mind.
Wu Xie.
There's a hand against the nape of his neck, curling into his hair. He doesn't resist when Xiaoge tilts his head back. Xiaoge doesn't look sad anymore. There's something soft in his eyes that cuts straight through the chills and misery in Wu Xie's chest.
Don't think so much.
The simplicity of the words draws a breathless laugh from him. He blinks, feels some heat rise in his cheeks. Xiaoge ducks his head down, presses warm, familiar lips against Wu Xie's.
It's very late.
It is. And suddenly every bone in his body wants to be asleep. He wraps his arms more tightly around Xiaoge.
Come to bed with me, then.
Xiaoge takes him by the shoulders and turns him towards his bedroom. The house is dark, but Wu Xie finds his way through familiar hallways without trouble. In his room, he reaches out to pull the duvet back. Instead of blankets, he finds a warm but solid mass. Startled, he jumps back, right into Xiaoge.
Ah!
There's a grunt, a shuffle, then a dark shadow rising in the bed.
Qianzhen, what the fuck? Pengzi.
There is some clattering around. Wu Xie squints as the lamp on the nightstand comes on. Pengzi is sitting up in bed, Wu Xie's bed, and is blinking up at them blearily.
Well, he says, finally.
What? Pengzi heaves himself over to the far side, flails as he tries to wriggle underneath the second duvet, while also chucking Wu Xie's pajamas at him. Wu Xie has to snag them out of the air before they can fall on the floor.
It's so late this morning again,
Pengzi complains. He waves a hand.
Get in already. I'd like to get a little bit more sleep.
Wu Xie doesn't move, pajamas in hand, a smile tugging at the corner of his mouth that he's steadfastly resisting.
Pengzi, why are you sleeping in my bed?
Pengzi raises his eyebrows, looks from him to Xiaoge and back.
Waiting for you two, duh. Have you sorted your...
He twists his face into a grimace, waves his hand in a vague gesture.
Yes,
Xiaoge says suddenly, and inexplicably in nothing more than a pair of black boxers pushes past Wu Xie and climbs into the bed. He pulls the blanket up to his chin and gives Wu Xie an expectant look. Wu Xie's eyes are burning, but this time it's fueled by the warmth that's closing around his heart.
He smiles, looks down, and shakes out the pajamas to find the sleeves and trouser legs. Give me a second. He leaves his clothes slung over the back of the desk chair, lowers himself onto the edge of the mattress. Conceptually, he's on board with this. Logistically, he's unsure how to proceed. It's a fine bed for one person, passable for two. It's decidedly too small for three. He's still thinking about it when an arm wraps around his waist. Xiaoge tugs him close, none too gently, and flips them over. The bedroom blurs and tilts. After a tangle of limbs and some flailing, Wuxie finds himself wedged in between Pangzi and Xiaoge in the middle of the bed. Ah, Pangzi says, contented. Cozy warmth closes around Wuxie. First Pangzi's arm that lands across his chest, then half of Xiaoge's blanket as Xiaoge wraps them up in it. Xiaoge lights. There is a click, and darkness settles over the room. Even once his eyes adjust, all Wuxie can make out are the dark shapes. There's no missing his friend's presence, though. Pangzi's arm heavy on top of him, Xiaoge pressed up against his side, with his chin hooked over Wuxie's shoulder. He's well and truly trapped. Couldn't get out if he tried. For the first time in days, tension he hadn't even realized he was holding lifts off him. He's feeling light enough to float. Thank you both. He says it quietly enough so it's barely audible, except, of course, at this time of night. Even Wu Xianju is dead silent. Pangzi growls. Go the fuck to sleep, Tianzhen. He doesn't fight the smile this time, closes his eyes, and does as he's told. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.